Is it on now?
Are we?
Yeah, because it said live.
It's live.
I will check.
Today we're going to learn about the end of the story. So Parsha Shmini begins with a very dramatic narrative of the Mishkan being consecrated. God's presence, as it were, returning to the Jewish people. In the end, it happens in a flaming revelation. The people are overwhelmed. They prostrate themselves. And Aaron's sons get carried away. In the end, quite literally, as we learned yesterday. So they got carried away, and because they got carried away, their souls were removed, and they had to be carried away. And Moshe Rabbeinu instructed Aaron and his sons with the famous words, "The show must go on." He said, "Al ta'arvavu simchas hamakim." Don't get in the way, don't dampen the mood of the joy of Hashem. Even though you have a personal mourning, a personal tragedy, the personal tragedy cannot get in the way of the job, which is much, much bigger than you as individuals. And so they're instructed that even though usually when somebody is an onan, somebody loses a loved one, so they're in a state of full meltdown, which also precludes spiritual activities and typical Avedis Hashem, nonetheless, they should continue to do what they've been instructed. Extended members of the family come in to remove the bodies of Nadav and Avihu, and the show goes on. And then Moshe Rabbeinu discovers that certain offerings which are supposed to have been eaten were not consumed. And this is a problem. Because HaKoyanim Eichanin Ubailim Eskapdim. The Koyanim's job is to eat the Korban, and when the Korban is consumed by these special people called Koyanim, in turn, the individuals who bring the offering, or the individuals for whom the offering is brought, are able to obtain pardon. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns around to his nephews and his disciples, to Elazar and Isamar, and now he's angry. He's really angry. He said, "What is going on here? We had one disaster. Nadav and Avihu chose to do things on their own, and that caused a debacle. And now we have more problems." And so he lashes out in a very, very severe way. Now the truth is, they had the ability to respond. They had what to say. But out of respect for Moshe, they didn't want to respond to him. So their father, Aaron, in the end, does respond. And today we're going to learn about Aaron's response. So Moshe Rabbeinu's essential message is, God has given you a mission and a job, a mandate to bring about atonement for the Jewish people. You had no right not to eat it. You had no right to remove yourselves from this responsibility that Hashem placed upon you. Chapter 10, verse 19 and verse 20. Aaron's response. Vayedaber Aaron el Moshe. Aaron responds now to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says, Hein hayoim hikrivu es chatosam. Indeed, he says, yes. Today, I have continued the service, the avodah, uninterrupted. I did bring their sin offering, ve'es olosam, and also their ascent offering, lifnei Hashem. Vatikra'ena oisi ka'ela. And this is what happened. And ve'achalti chatas hayoim, I'm going to eat the sin offering. Hayitev beini Hashem. That's going to be good in Hashem's eyes. Let's go quickly into the next verse and then we'll return. Vayishma Moshe hears, Vayitav Beinov, and the words of Aaron are indeed good in his eyes. So Aaron says, Hayitav Beini Hashem, would it be good in God's eyes? Moshe listens and the Torah says, Vayitav Beinov, it is good in his eyes. What did Aaron say? And what in heaven was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking to begin with? This where we look at the Pasuk in an open way, we don't see any kind of response. So we're going to focus primarily on Rashi today, although I will try to share with you some of the commentaries of the other Rishonim as well. Vayedaber Aaron. Let's take a look at Rashi, verse 19. So the first thing you have to know is it doesn't say Vayoymer Aaron. Now, this is most famous when it comes to the verses that introduce Matan Torah, where in the same verse, we're told, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, Koyse Daber al Bnei Yisrael, V'chaysem al Veis Yankiv, pardon me, Chaysem al Veis Yankiv, V'chaysem al Bnei Yisrael. So you should speak to the house of Jacob, so you should talk to the sons of Israel. And there Rashi famously says, quoting our sages, Koyseimer V'chaysagid, soft speech, so words that are softly spoken, and that are words that are harshly promulgated, harshly conveyed. Tough talk. But the truth is that this idea is found throughout the Chumash. Already in conversations of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Avraham Avinu, we find it. Throughout the Chumash, there are different words which are used to describe conversations, and the different words are not haphazard or poetic, but the different words actually have meaning. Over here it says, Vayidaber Aaron. So Rashi says, Ein Lashon Dibur. Whenever you see the word Dibur, not only is Tageid, not only is Haggadah, something which is harsh and forceful and forthcoming, but also the idea of Dibur. Dibur is talking, and we have tough talk. This is not a softly spoken Aaron now. It's Lashon Az. Aaron speaks with a sense of boldness, with a sense of security, a sense of surety, and he's very forthright in responding to Moshe Rabbeinu. And how do we know this is the case? Shenemar, because it says, with regard to the Jewish people who kvetched and complained about the manna, the food from heaven which came to nourish them, it says, Vayidaber ha'om, the nation, they started talking. Who were they talking about? They're talking about Likim of Moshe. They're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. They were complaining. It wasn't nice. It was a very bold thing to do, mind you, mess around with Moshe. But they did. So we see that the word Vayidaber is not softly spoken. That's where the comparison ends. This does not mean that Chas V'Shalom, the inappropriateness of the Jewish people later on when it comes to manna, is a reflection on the words of Aaron. There's nothing inappropriate about what Aaron's about to say. So the Vayidaber just means Dvarim Koshim. There's harsh, harsh words being said. Aaron responds, Moshe Rabbeinu comes with anger, forcefulness, making demands, because he's concerned. He's concerned for the welfare of the Jewish people. He's concerned what's going to happen to Am Yisrael. They have a job to do. And already once they didn't listen. So Moshe Rabbeinu is really, really agitated. He's very upset. And Aaron responds with the same kind of forcefulness. Very clearly, very stridently. And now, Rashi answers the obvious question. Efsher, Moshe Kotzaf al Alozo Veisomar, V'Aaron Medaber? What is going on here? The Aaron came to defend his children? Moshe didn't talk to him. Moshe Rabbeinu addressed himself to his sons, to Aaron's sons, his nephews, Elazar and Isamar. Hoyadaito, you should know, Rashi says, this is very clear in understanding these verses, Shaloi Hoya Ela Miderach Kovid. This was a very unusual family. They didn't fight. A lot of families fight. And the brothers yell and scream at each other. Now, this family, they didn't do that. In this family, they had the utmost respect for one another. Moshe Rabbeinu looked up to his older brother Aaron. In fact, from the very beginning, he didn't want to step into a role that might in any way compromise Aaron's dignity. And Aaron looked up to his younger brother Moshe as the one Hashem had chosen. And there was no issue there. So this is not, oh, family politics. Very okay. The brothers are fighting again. Chas v'shalom. You should know, Shalei Hoysa Ele Miderech Kovid. This entire exchange happened under the framework of extraordinary respect and honor. So it wasn't as if Moshe lashed out at his nephews because he couldn't yell at anybody else. Chas v'shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to speak harshly to Aaron, especially under the circumstances. Aaron just lost two of his children. Heaven forfend. So why didn't they respond? If Moshe Rabbeinu makes a point of not speaking to Aaron, why didn't they respond? Rashi says, Amru, they said in their hearts, Eini bedin shehei avinu yeshiv. So the unusual nature of this family continues now to be conveyed to us. What happens usually when you have children who are very capable? They rush to respond. Who cares what the old man has to say? Not Aaron's children. Very respectful. They would never say something in the presence of their father. If their father was there, he should respond. So they don't respond. And Eini Bidin is also inappropriate because they were not only nephews of Moshe Rabbeinu, but they were his loving chassidim and they were dedicated disciples. Eini Bidin Shehei Talmud Moshe Vesrabai, it's also inappropriate that the student should respond like that to his teacher. So the Rebbe yelled at them, okay, so they deserve to get yelled at. They have what to say and they could defend themselves. It's not appropriate to respond. Yochel, lest you think, well, they didn't respond because they didn't have what to say. Yochel, they couldn't. They shall hoya by Elazar. Elazar didn't have the inner fortitude. He didn't have the gumption required to respond to Moshe Lahashiv. Talmud Leimar, we see elsewhere, Vayoymer Elazar Akeinu Anshei Hatzava. Elazar found his voice very quickly when it was necessary. When the people were doing something wrong and he had to stop them, he didn't wait for Moshe Rabbeinu. Because if somebody is doing something inappropriate and you have the awareness of it, and you have the ability to stop it, you have the obligation to speak up. This is not popular in the Western world. We live in a world today where, why should I speak up? Why should I say anything? Why get myself into trouble? It's not my problem. But that's not the Jewish way. In the Jewish way, everything is my problem. And if it's something I can speak up about and something I'm aware of and something I see, that means from Hashem, I've been given the mission of trying to make a difference. I have to speak up. I have to say something. And Elazar finds his voice very quickly in that situation. He speaks to the military people coming home. He could speak in front of Moshe. This was no bashful individual who was afraid to open his mouth. He could open his mouth just fine. So Zuma Tzasi B'Sifri Shel Panim Sheni. This is found in the Sifri, which is also known in parlance of Jewish history. We call this Sifri Zuta, the minor Sifri. So Rashi just called it the Sifri Sheni. Okay, so one thing we've established now is the fact that Aaron is speaking is not because the children don't have anything to say. But also tells us is that Moshe Rabbeinu's mistake, because clearly he yells and he's upset and agitated, and then Moshe says, vayitev, I didn't know. I didn't realize. So Moshe's mistake was not only plain to Aaron, but in fact it was also obvious to his children. How could that be? Moshe Rabbeinu was mistaken? Moshe Rabbeinu made... What was he thinking here? So now we're going to go to the subject itself. What did Aaron say? We look at the words, it's very just simple words. Like we don't know what he said. He said, "Hey Nayim, indeed today I bring the chatas, I bring the sin offering of the Ela, Vatikrena Isika Ela, this happened, Vachalti chatas and Alit, Ayitev Beini Hashem." I mean, everything Aaron says we know already. So Rashi explains. Mahu Aimer. What is Aaron saying here? Elo, if you look at the words carefully, this is what's really being conveyed. Omer Lehem Moshe. Moshe, he said to them, what went wrong here? Something must have gone wrong because you're not doing your job. You've got clear instructions. You didn't listen to instructions, something went wrong. And now you're again not listening to instructions. So Rashi says, Moshe said to them, Shema zaraktem domo. Maybe it's because you dashed the blood of the korban when you were oinanim, when you were in this sense of state of meltdown because of mourning. And therefore, it was an inappropriate act of service. She'oinan she'ovad an onan, who serves in the Beis HaMikdash, chilel desecrates his avoda, and it's not effective. Is that what's going on here? Is that what you were thinking? So to this, Aaron responded, Omer li Aaron, v'chihem ikrivu. Did they bring the korban? Shehim hedyot is their ordinary kohanim, and ordinary kohanim cannot serve when they're in a state of aninut after immediately losing a loved one. Ani ikravti. I'm the one who brought the offering. And the halacha is, sha'ani kohen gadol. A kohen gadol has a separate set of laws that he operates under. The regular kohen cannot serve as an onin. The kohen gadol can bring the offerings as an onin. So Aaron is saying, hein hayim hikrivu es chatasam v'silasam. Did I not do this? Ani krafti. I did this. But this is what happened to me. when this situation, my sons died on me, he says, Rashi says, afilu lehoya hamesim bonai, even if the children were not my own sons, ela sha'ar karevim shani chayev li yes oinin, it will be other relatives that I would have to be an onin for them. For example, parents, an unmarried sister. Ka'ilu. Kigoy kol ha'amurim b'parshas koinim, all the seven relatives who I talked about in the parsha emor ala koinim, which speaks to the responsibilities of koinim, sha'koin mitamalehem, that a koin has to go to the funeral and become defiled. V'yachalti chatos, and if I would have eaten hayitev, would this have been a good thing? Now it says hayoim, hayoim. So Rashi says, because the aninos, the din, the halacha of onin is only by the day, of al aninos laila, if it's aninos of at night, mutar, she'ein onin ali yom hakfur, it's only the day of the funeral. But the night that follows is a different halacha. So far, what did Aaron say? What he said so far is he ruled out the supposition of Moshe Rabbeinu that maybe something was done wrong. Maybe you think something wasn't done right. And because it wasn't done right, that's why you didn't follow through with the rest of my instructions. Aaron says, no. All the things that you told us to do were done right. Everything is done right. Well, everything is done right. Why didn't you eat the offering? Why didn't you do what Hashem told you? Says Rashi, Hayitiv Beini Hashem. The difference here is, Im Shomata Bekotche Shah, Ein Luchala Hakel Bekotche Deiris. Okay. So this is a situation of offerings. Different offerings, which the Rambam says in the end of Hilchas Me'ilah, is entirely, all offerings are in the realm of chukim. We don't understand the animal offerings. It's not something which is rational to us. Now, kodshe deiris, generational holiness, means the things in the Beis HaMikdash that have to be brought on a regular, ongoing basis for posterity. This is the offerings or the laws that apply historically for the Jewish people in every time and in every place. When Moshe Rabbeinu first began this process together with Aaron, there was also something called Kodshe Sha'a. Kodshe Sha'a means these were holiness of the hour. It was not something that was always the case. This is not going to be replicated in future times. It doesn't comprise one of the 613 mitzvahs. This is a unique reality of this time, of this hour. The Rebbe once spoke about the idea of a man of the year. That's not only for Time magazine. People used to honor somebody. So the Rebbe said, what does he mean he's a mensch for 1 year? Last year he wasn't a mensch. The next year he won't be a mensch. If he's not a mensch last year, he won't be a mensch next year. He's not a mensch this year either. And the Rebbe said, but if that's what it takes, make a man of the hour, make a man of the minute, who cares, whatever. Raise the money, build Yiddishkeit, do whatever it takes. Kodesh Shah means it's only now. It's only now, it's unique to this moment. It's not something which is applicable for posterity. So what is Aaron saying? Aaron's saying, yes, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's true. You said that we have to do this because Hashem told us to do it. That's the things we have to do now. That's the things that are unique for now. But the details that are applicable for the future, there's no room for wiggle to get away from that. There's no opportunity for us not to listen to Hashem. Then we have to follow the halacha. You could only make a distinction about now, the things which are unique for now. But you cannot kind of move or change the law that's already immutable. So that's what Aaron says. Vayitev Beinov. Moshe Rabbeinu hears this, and he says that's a brilliant distinction. A distinction between Kodesh Shah and Kodesh Deiris, between permanent reality and temporary reality. And so Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, this is good, backs off. And Rashi says something extraordinary about Moshe Hoida. Moshe Rabbeinu was happy to lose. Most people don't want to lose the argument. You feel strongly about something, even when the points are made, and even when you realize the truth is with the other side, you grudgingly agree. Okay, fine, I hear what you're saying. I don't really agree, but I'll agree. No. Moshe Rabbeinu vayitev, he was happy, it was good in his eyes. Hoida, he acknowledged and joyously, he said, oh, leibosh, he was not ashamed to say, leishomati, you're right. I didn't hear from Hashem about Kodesh Deiris, I only heard about Kodesh Shah, and therefore, your distinction is a proper distinction. So what was Moshe thinking? It's such an obvious thing. Aaron's sons got it. Aaron got it. Only Moshe made this mistake. How could such a thing be? Now, Hein Hayoim, according to Rashi, it's from the terminology Hein is like Haim. Haim is like, you know, this is what they were done. They were done by me, as we learned. But the Sephardim says that the word Hein comes from the word Im. If they would have done it, if my sons would have wanted to do this, all right. But I did it. I did it. Well, like Rashbam says, it's Miloshen Heino. He says, Hine, behold, I did this. I know what I'm doing. Everything was followed right. However, look what happened to me. So Rashi said, even if they were not my sons, if it was other relatives, the same halacha would apply. The Rashbam says that in the Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu's words emphasize the extraordinary nature of the moment. And this such and such happened to me. My sons, Nadav and Aviu. You think this is like an extraordinary thing? Or as the Targum Yonason says, if I would have forgotten, he says, and if I would eat, you think that would be a good idea? Well, my sons did something inappropriate, they didn't make it. And now you want me to make another mistake? He says, one mistake has cost me enough. I got a lot of skin in this game. You know, you're working in a nuclear reactor here. The slightest nuance, the slightest mistake, the slightest slip-up, it could be fatal over here. So if I would have eaten this today, it would have been okay? So clearly, like the Emek Dover says, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that Aaron's words were truth. He said he's right. His distinction is a proper distinction. And therefore, Hatzedekimoy, he's right. He's right. Ayitev Beinov. And so, it was good in his eyes. Okay, still don't understand what was Moshe thinking. So here's how the Rebbe explained this distinction. Here's the nuances. Page Kuf Lamed Zayin. Simen Chof. Here's the obvious question everybody wants to ask. Madua le'ola al daite shel Moshe Rabbeinu atzmei. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu himself not think of hachiluk, the obvious difference between kodesh shah l'kodesh hadeiros? It's an obvious distinction. There's issues of now, what's unique for now, and as he said, the show must go on. But then there's things which are not unique for now, and that's the show doesn't go on. Then we have to follow protocol. And it Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get it. Aaron said it. Oh, now that you say it, now I get it. Why did he think of that? Moshe Rabbeinu? Chochmah d'Atzilus? The highest level of wisdom? Higher than Aaron's level of wisdom? And he didn't get it? And Aaron's sons got it? And Aaron gets it? Until Aaron says it, Moshe doesn't get it? And the moment he hears it in a second, right away it clicks. What was he thinking? So the Rebbe says like this. Here's a possible way of understanding the logic behind Moshe Rabbeinu's seeming mistake. Meisha Savar, Moses felt, Shasibas Haheter HaMiyuchad, that the unique permission, the unique license granted here, Lecha Elesa Karbonis, to eat the offerings, despite the fact that it's a very extraordinary situation that usually prevents Kohanim from consuming the sacrifices. They're not allowed to eat them in this situation. But the Moshe Rabbeinu felt that here, it would be okay. He felt that this was bedoyme, this was along the lines of the commandment, Roshechem Al Tifro, which means, don't become unkempt. The halacha is when somebody loses a loved one in the time of mourning, you don't get a haircut. How long don't you get a haircut for? Until people tell you look ridiculous. So for an extended period of time, you don't get a haircut. Not many people who shave will stop shaving, and the halacha is at least a minimum a month, because usually a haircut after a month you don't look exactly ridiculous. But if you're a shaver and you don't shave for a month, then you look kind of strange already. So it's a minimum, but even that's a leniency. And Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron and his sons, "Don't you start any of that business now. You're the last kohen in the whole world. You can't go around unkempt, because a kohen unkempt actually cannot serve in the Beis Hamikdash." And the reason was, Shaloi Liv Goya Besimchas Chanukas HaMishkan. This was a big historic moment. The inauguration of the Mishkan, making it a repository of holiness for Hashem's presence that would continue to dwell amongst the Jewish people for posterity, was a big deal. And he says, you cannot in any way dampen the spirit. You can't get in the way of this. Ayidem and Hogi Avelus, by you behaving in a manner of mourning. And quite literally, in the words Rashi said earlier, Al ta'arvavu simchasa shomakim, don't in a way dampened. Don't get in the way of the joy of Hashem. This is a joy of Hashem, and the show must go on. If that's the reason, so then there's no difference. What's the difference? Kachah Deiris, Kachah Shah. What's the difference if it's a temporary holiness, a permanent holiness? Laws which are been enacted for this unique day, or laws which are relevant to posterity. It doesn't make a difference. Bechol Mikra, in every situation, any kind of expression of mourning necessarily would dampen the spirit. Any kind of refraining from doing what Hashem said automatically is going to, in some way, upset the card here. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, I brought the offerings. I brought the sin offering. I did it lifnei Hashem. What does lifnei Hashem mean? Lifnei Hashem means before God. Lifnei Hashem, before God. Meaning, rak lifnei Hashem. It's only the things that are before God. What does it mean before God? Everything's before God. God is everywhere. It's a euphemism. It means in the location where the big event is happening, where the Shekhinah is coming, the ground zero of spirituality for the Jewish people, the epicenter, the scrimmage of the actual Mizbeach, of the area of the altar where all of the activity is unfolding. So the Makim HaMizbeach, the place of the altar, that's the source or the location of Simchas Tishol Makim, the joy of Hashem. Sham Tzricha HaKrovas HaKarbonis L'Eskayim. It's at that epicenter, it's on the main stage, everything has to continue to go on exactly as before, L'amrois ha'velos, despite the fact that the baby mourning. However, v'yachalti chatas hayoyim. But when we talk about chatas hayoyim, we're talking about the sin offering, which is not unique to today. But this is something which is an ongoing reality. This is laws that apply for posterity. When it comes to achilas ha'karbanis, the eating of offerings, the eating of the offerings is not done in center stage. The eating of the offerings is done backstage. It's done in a quiet place. When it comes to personal, private things, over there, the mourning must go on. Nobody else knows if it was or wasn't eaten. In other words, besides the fact that there's something temporary, something permanent here, it cannot be an overt and an outward demonstration of mourning. What is this like, perhaps? We have this notion that when somebody's, God forbid, sitting Shiva, on Shabbos, you don't express the Shiva. When is that the case? It's something which is obvious. But if it's not something that's obvious, then in that case, you're required to keep. It's called Dvarim Shabbatzina. So for example, when somebody's in Avelos, they can't have an Aliyah to Torah. Can't get an Aliyah. What happened? When could you get an Aliyah? When your mourning is over. What happens if somebody gets an Aliyah every single Shabbat? Every single Shabbat, never fails. If he doesn't get an Aliyah on the Shabbat he's in mourning, then it will be an obvious expression of mourning. The Rebbe used to get Maftir every single week, always had Maftir. So if all of a sudden the Rebbe was sitting Shiva for his wife and he wouldn't get Maftir, what would happen then? Then there will be an obvious display of mourning. The mourner doesn't speak, unless the mourner, when the Rebbe used to Fabreng every Shabbos, he did speak and teach words of Torah. Why? Because then it would be an obvious thing. So when it comes to Kodshei Shah, when it comes to the temporary situation, a private thing, Aaron says, I had no permission, no license to be able to supersede the laws. But it came to the open things, it came to the things of center stage, that's where we had a difference. So that's the difference between what Moshe and Aaron were thinking. Moshe was, Moshe was a monochromatic in his view. In Moshe's world, everything was black and white. He didn't have nuance. If it was right, it was right. If it was wrong, it was wrong. There was no nuance. Aaron says to Moshe, it's not so simple. Reality is nuanced. There's things which are overt and things which are covert, things which are obvious, things which people don't notice, things which are temporary in nature, and things which are later going to become a part of the rubric of everyday law. And there, a distinction has to be made. On Moshe Rabbeinu's level, everything is black and white. But in the world of Aaron and his sons, who are not on his level of spiritual acuity, there was certain nuance, and that nuance had to apply. So when Moshe Rabbeinu becomes aware that it's not Atzilus over here, this is not the highest reality, this is a reality in the real world, there are distinctions, as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu hears this with joy, not to get frustrated, immediately, as soon as he gets that, Hoidev Leibosh, Moshe says, got it. And this shows you the marvelous interplay between Moshe and Aaron. And perhaps this is how the Torah was conveyed to us through Moshe and Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu with the eternal truth of Hashem, the divine truth, which is immutable. And then Aaron dealing with the reality on the ground and finding a way that the divine truth and the immutable reality has to be applied, but you got to deal with circumstances too. There's much more to say, but we're out of time. So, l'chaim.